We are all. 2, 1. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Chris of Calvary Pottstown. Good morning. I hope everyone is healthy and safe. We are living in some crazy times, for sure. I just want to kind of give you some updates of what's going on. This would kind of be the announcement part of our regular Sunday morning service. So first, I just want to let everybody know, obviously, you know, to be encouraging you guys to follow the COVID-19 mandates right now. The sooner we follow them, the sooner this will hopefully end. And one thing we need to remember is the sign back here says we need to pray. We need to pray for this situation. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for people. And also, we need to take this out as an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who are very, very panic-filled. They're fear-filled. And look, honestly, we have no idea where this is going. And I said this last week, you know, we don't know the future. We don't know the future, but we know who holds the future, and that's God himself. So, you know, we have to remember to trust in him during these times. And listen, also throughout the week, I'm going to try on our Facebook page, I'm going to start posting some articles about COVID-19, some interesting articles that I've been coming across. And, you know, one of the things too, one of the questions that has been coming up has been, is this COVID-19, is this virus part of Bible prophecy and all these things? So hopefully today we'll answer some of those questions as we go through Mark 13 and some other things. And also some other housekeeping stuff. Listen, the women's study that is on Saturdays, that is going to be at the discretion of the person's house they're holding at and the leader of the women's study. So what I'm basically trying to say is that what will happen is they'll make that decision and they'll let you know. Those women who attend the study are all on a text group. So they'll let them know by Saturday if they're going to have the study or not. I know that I believe it still is. Now, it could change, obviously, that if it's people or if it's gatherings of 10 or less, you're able to have them, they're okay to have them, and there's enough room for social distance, whatever. The point is that they will, somebody will text you, they'll let you know by the week's end for the women's study. The other thing, too, we have a prayer request. My wife's sister, my sister-in-law, gave us a prayer request for one of their neighbors. Their 2-year-old daughter is down at CHOP right now. She has COVID-19, and what has happened is she has asthma problems. So the COVID-19 virus has led to pneumonia. Her name is Devin, so we're going to pray for her in a few minutes along with other things, but I just want to, you know, in your prayer, personal prayer time, if you could remember to pray for Devin. I know a lot of you have been asking and wondering. Yesterday, our son Josh got married to Jordan. It was awesome. It was such a blessing, and it was just showing how faithful God is, how faithful God is to us and to believers. The wedding was a beautiful day. It went really well, but it was such a blessing. So they're doing great. They're happy. It was so neat to see the two of them interact yesterday. You know, they're in love, and it was nice to see my son his smile on his face didn't leave his face, and they were, it was just wonderful. And my wife Jennifer has posted some pictures on Facebook of yesterday. It was a small gathering of close family and friends, and I performed the ceremony. It was my first wedding. I think I did okay. But it was a blessing. So thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for them. And also, we're going to do something different this week. Since all of us, a lot of us, are kind of sequestered at home because of this whole thing, starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, for this entire week, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at 7 o'clock every night this week, I'm going to teach through the book of 1 Thessalonians. So we're going to do a Facebook Live video of me teaching through 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians is a book in the New Testament. It's a book that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He was there, some suggest 3 weeks, some suggest 3 months. But the point is, he wrote this letter because there was some false teaching going on that the return of Christ had already come, and the church was worried because they thought they'd missed it. So I think in the midst of these times that we're living in, I'm going to teach through 1 Thessalonians. And then the following week, excuse me, Lord willing, I'm going to teach through 2 Thessalonians. So, you know, put that in your notes or whatever, mark it on your calendar. So starting tomorrow night, Monday, what is it? March 23rd, it'll be, at 7 o'clock, I will be teaching this whole week at 7 o'clock, 1 Thessalonians. So obviously tomorrow, Monday, we'll get through chapter 1, Tuesday, chapter 2. You know, it's only 5 chapters, so a chapter a night is what we're aiming for. And look, this is a great way to stay connected. I know this is not ideal at all. And you know, it's amazing. It dawned on me this morning, guys, as I was praying and thinking about meditating about upon some things, you know, it's almost like we're getting a taste of what it's like to be a persecuted church. You know, when you can't fellowship with other believers, when you can't fellowship with your church family, like physically, it kind of causes you to think, man, did I take this for granted? God, I miss seeing you guys. I miss seeing your smiling faces. I miss being able to talk to you. As your pastor, I really miss you guys. But I know that right now we're doing this, so we're hoping that this whole virus thing will end quickly and we can get back to fellowship with one another. And by the way, that brings up a good point. I'm going to be contacting the Senior Center probably Wednesday, Thursday this week to see where we stand with possibly getting back into the building on the 29th. Now, I'll let everybody know. We'll let everybody know. We'll have it on Facebook. We'll send out our texts and everything. If it comes down to the situation where we can't meet this Sunday, well, once again, next Sunday, we'll meet here at 10 o'clock, and I'll do a teaching for the next chapter in Mark, or as far as we get today. One last thing. Something else I'm going to start doing, maybe not on a daily basis, but every few days. Men of Calvary Pottstown, if I have your cell phone number, I'm going to start texting you guys verses, encouragements. You know, I can't say every day, daily, but every couple days, just to kind of stay connected with you guys. And I'd ask this: when I send these texts out, it's not about knowing who the other people who are receiving it. Okay, so it's just about me getting out there, some encouragement, some verses, etc., to encourage you guys and kind of stay connected as men. And anyway, I just want to throw that out there. So that'll probably be starting tomorrow or Tuesday. I'll be doing that on a weekly basis for you guys. And I think that's it as far as the way of announcements. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray for this whole COVID-19 virus situation. And as I mentioned earlier, also pray for this little girl named Devin, who is at CHOP, who is struggling now. She has a COVID-19 and she has pneumonia. So let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. I pray that in the midst of all this kind of craziness and panic and fear, that Father, we as your believers, we as your followers, that we wouldn't forget, Lord, how faithful you are, how you provide, how you protect, and how you bless. And Father, I pray that we draw near to you during this time. Father, we pray first and foremost for our government. We pray for our president, our vice president, and their COVID-19 task force. We pray for wisdom. Father, we pray that they wouldn't rely on their own strength for this, Lord, that they would seek your face. I pray, Father God, that if there is anybody, Lord, who is giving false information or who is not telling the truth, we pray that they would be exposed and that, Lord, the information that's being used would be correct, would be truthful. The facts, the statistics, Lord, there's so many different voices, Lord, saying so many different things. Lord, would your truth just come to the surface? Would your truth be brought before our president and our vice president? And I pray, Lord, that there be unity there in the government to do what is right, to do what is right. And Father, we pray for this virus. We ask, God, that you would just supernaturally move throughout all the states of this country. And Lord, use this as an opportunity for revival. Lord, as these times are crazy. And as we're at home, Lord, a lot of us kind of just stuck there, if you will. I pray that we wouldn't look at it like that. That we'd look at it as a time where we could open the Word of God and read and get to know our Bible more than we ever have before. That we use it as a time, Lord, to pray, to seek your face, for our own lives, for the lives of our children. And I even pray, Lord, for those families who have to be, who are together. Lord, I pray that the dads and the moms would speak into the lives of their kids. I pray that they would enjoy the time they have together as a family. And Lord, may you use this time to recalibrate, to reset the priorities of our life. Father, you're supposed to be the most important thing in our life. And I pray that, Lord, you would be. And even in through these times, Lord, you would be. And Lord, we pray for this little girl, Devin. We pray for her, Lord. We ask for healing, Lord. We pray that she would get through this. We pray that your healing hand would be upon her this morning. And that, Lord, you would encourage her parents right now. That they could sense your presence in their lives. Lord, I don't know where they stand with you, but I pray, Lord, that even through this, that they would draw near to you, and you would draw near to them, and that they would surrender their lives to you. And Lord, may we be the church to the community, to the neighborhoods around us. May our light shine so forth. May we have a peace that only comes from you and a joy, even in the midst of this. And may it minister to the people around us. Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your faithfulness again. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so if you guys want to turn your Bibles to Mark 13, Mark chapter 13. Now, a couple things I want to say this morning. I have no idea how far we're going to get today. And one thing I want to say is, listen, we're in Mark 13, and for those of you who regularly attend the church, you know that what we do at Calvary Pottstown, which is unique, is we teach through the Bible verse by verse. So we're going through the Gospel of Mark verse by verse. And so it just so happens a couple weeks ago, as we were going through the book of Mark, we hit Mark 13. And Mark 13 talks about the end times. So look, when you teach through the Bible, verse by verse, you're going to hit all kinds of different passages, but you're going to hit the whole thing. You're going to hit the whole counsel of God. So it's not that I purposely picked this text this morning necessarily, but the text picked us. So as we continue to go through, excuse me, the Gospel of Mark, understand that we're going to talk about the end times. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get. We're going to take some time because, look, I'm hearing all kinds of things out in the social media universe, in our regular news media, even other believers, I'm hearing all kinds of things about what's going on right now and what this means. And so hopefully as we go through Mark 13, as we go through these things today, some of these questions rather will be answered. And listen, I also want to kind of point out right now too, if you have questions about anything that we cover today, if you have prayer requests, if you need somebody to talk to, please contact the church. The church email is church288@comcast.net. Or you can call the church number, which is 484-985-9793. And you just leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. But understand that these things we're going to cover today, and what I'm going to try to do today too, is I'm going to try to cover kind of a big picture. So it kind of explains where we're at and what's going on. Okay, so like I said, I don't know how far we're going to get. We're probably going to turn to some other passages in the Bible. So I'm just preparing you. And if you don't usually take notes, this is a day to take notes. Okay, this is a day to take notes. So I'm going to do my best to keep it as simplest as I can and understandable as I can for you guys, so you have a general understanding of what's going on and what Jesus says about the end times, what God says in His Word. So with that in mind, before we start, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day again. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that as we continue to go through the scripture, as we continue to study the word of God, that, Lord, you would speak to us. Father, you have a message for us here this morning. You want us to know the truth of your word. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying through Mark 13. And Lord, I pray for me that you would just speak through me, that it'd be your word, that I would be simple, and that, Lord, we take our time if need be, that you take us as far as we need to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Mark 13, we're going to pick up in verse 1 because I know it's been a few weeks since we have been in Mark. So Mark 13, chapter 1, or chapter 13, verse 1 says this, And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, Seest thou these buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled or accomplished? Okay, so Jesus is and his disciples are walking away from the temple. They're heading towards the Mount of Olives, which is directly across the Temple Mount area. They're walking across into the Mount of Olives. And so one of his disciples says, Master, look at the temple. And a few weeks ago when we covered that, I showed you guys a picture in church of what the temple complex would have looked like in those times. And it was this massive, beautiful complex. And so Jesus responds by saying, these stones won't be left upon another. And so you can imagine their astonishment and the fact that they marveled at this. They couldn't believe it because some of these stones were huge, were over 40 feet long. They were huge. They were thick, all those things. So it was very, for them, would have been very kind of shocking to see that, or to say that, for him to say something like that. And we know that this scripture of no stone being fulfilled upon another was fulfilled in AD 70. The Romans, Titus Vespasian, okay, a Roman general, they had surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and tradition is that basically one of his troops was drunk one night and dropped a torch in the temple area, and what happened was because of the heat from the fire, it melted the gold, so then the soldiers grabbed each stone and threw them off the Temple Mount. Okay, threw them off. So no stone was left upon another. And that happened in AD 70. And if you recall, I talked about this last time, that Herod the Great had started building this temple, taking what Zerubbabel's temple was and building this grand complex. It finally was finished in 66 AD, but only four years later, in AD 70, did this take place, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. So that prophecy that Jesus gave there happened. It actually happened in AD 70. Now, as he goes throughout the passage here in Mark 13, he's going to answer the other questions. And so these three questions were, tell us when these things will be, the destruction of the temple, okay? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the end of the world? And see, look, the Jews in their mind, okay, they couldn't separate the two. So the end of the age with the destruction of the temple, they would thought were would happen at the same time. And that's not necessarily true. All right. And understand, too, one thing we need to keep in mind. OK, as we go throughout this passage and as we talk about the rest of the things today, that the Jews, the Jewish people of Israel and the church, OK, the church are two separate groups. Now, there are Jews who are saved, who have committed their life to Jesus Christ, and they are part of the church, if you will, okay? But then there's God's chosen people, Israel, and they are two distinct groups. They are not one and the same, and, you know, because the Jews rejected Christ, the church didn't take the Jews' promises, okay? There's a lot of that going around today. It's called replacement theology. If you've never heard that term, great, stay ignorant of it, okay? But if you have, we don't believe at Calvary Potsdam replacement theology. We don't. Okay, so understand there's two distinct groups here. And as you go through this passage of scripture, Jesus is addressing his disciples. Okay, who were his first disciples? They were Jewish. So he's talking to the Jews in a sense, as to a Jewish audience. Now, does that mean that what he's saying doesn't have any relevance to us? Absolutely it does. It does have relevance. You know, I look at the Old Testament. There are things, the Old Testament was specifically about the nation of Israel. But there are principles, there are commands, there are things that God taught in the Old Testament that still apply to us, that still can be applicable to us. When God says, hey, don't put something before me, don't make an idol for yourself, that's still relevant to us right today. So as we go through this passage, some of these things, yes, you know, I believe in the rapture of the church that we won't be here for some of these things, but they still have relevance to us today. Okay? So, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled or accomplished. He says this in verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Now that word for take heed, you're going to see throughout this passage. It means to look, to see. The idea is there to discern, okay? Now what does it mean to discern? Discern means basically, kind of a simple way to put it. You look at something and you have two choices. You know, you say, okay, is it this or is it this? All right? So it's kind of like you're thinking about it. You're thinking, you're discerning, you're making a choice, okay? If that makes sense. Take heed lest any man deceive you. That word for deceive means to lead you astray, to lead you from the right way. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Okay, now, I am Christ. False Christ will come on the scene. Now, there is an ultimate picture in this man named the Antichrist. Okay, he's the ultimate picture of that. But right now, as I sit here, in the last few years, and I believe there's even one happening now, I believe it's in New York, I can't remember the name of the cult, but the gentleman who leads this cult is saying that he is Jesus Christ, that he's here. He's Jesus Christ. I remember specifically a couple years ago, Miami, there was this guy who said he was Jesus Christ, and he got a 666 tattoo on his arm, which doesn't make any sense to me. But that's like the symbol of the Antichrist. It doesn't make any sense. But the point is, there are people who have claimed to be Jesus Christ throughout history, who have claimed to be the Messiah, all right? And so as we see this, okay, don't be deceived, Jesus is saying to them. Don't be deceived. These people will come and say that they're me, okay, that they're the Christ, that they're the Savior, that they're the Messiah specifically, okay? And so don't be deceived by that. And the ultimate fulfillment will be by this man named the Antichrist. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll develop that a little bit more. And then he says this, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, and look, we've heard rumors of wars, haven't we? We have just signed a supposed peace deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan. That war has been going on for 20 years now, approximately 20 years, give or take a couple years. So there's always been rumors of wars. There have always been rumors of wars with nations, okay? And he goes on to say, but be ye not troubled, for such things must ye be, or such things must take place. But the end shall not be yet, okay? You're hearing rumors of wars. Now, I don't want us to miss that, okay? Miss what he says here, but the end shall not be yet. All right, keep that in the back of your mind. Then he says this, for nation shall rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquake in diverse places. By the way, just this past week or so, there was an earthquake in Salt Lake City, Utah. In fact, the earthquake was so strong, I believe, it had destroyed a trumpet statue outside the Mormon headquarters, okay? But there's earthquakes in diverse places. I can't remember the last time I told you, or I heard of an earthquake being in Salt Lake City, Utah, all right? Diverse places mean various places. And there shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, that word for sorrows literally means pang or throe. It's the pain of childbirth. So for those of you who are married, for guys who are married, or women who've actually had kids, and you've witnessed the birth of your son or daughter, what usually happens? Well, what happens is the wife's water breaks, there's contractions, okay? Well, actually, the contractions come first, I guess, right? Yeah, contractions, I'm asking my wife. Contractions come first, and then the water breaks, and then as the baby is going to be born, the baby boy or girl gets closer to being born, the contractions get shorter, okay? So when you see these things, false Christs, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, famines, okay, famines, you see these things, you see them as the time between each one gets shorter and shorter, what does it mean? That the end is coming, okay? We don't want to miss that, all right? So what I want you to do here is put your finger in Mark 13, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, because Matthew 24, so a way to look at it is this. Mark 13 is kind of like the cliff notes of Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is much more detailed in some of this description, so I want to cover some of this because it's very relevant to what we're going through literally right now in this day and age. So Matthew 24, Matthew chapter
23.
Or chapter 24, verse 3, okay? So as I said a few minutes ago, this is going to cover some ground that we just read in Mark 13. But understand that, so Mark 13, in a sense, is the cliff notes of Matthew 24. So Matthew 24 gives more details that I feel are necessary for us to cover this morning, especially in light of what we've been going through recently, okay? And I apologize if the camera is a little bit crooked. I apologize for that. We do the best we can here. So Matthew 24, verse 3, it says here, it says, thank you, babe. And as she fixed the camera, I think. Okay. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things be. Okay. And that's the first question of the destruction of the temple. And that's answered in Luke 21. And then it says, and what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And he's going to answer as he goes through, just like he did in Mark. So verse 4 of chapter 24 of Matthew. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, know the genuine. For many come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Now that's something that Mark did not put in his writing. He didn't put pestilence, but here in Matthew it's here, pestilence. And pestilence basically is a plague, a pest. Now pestilence, let me ask you a question. What's COVID-19? COVID-19 is basically a pestilence. It's a plague, okay, on a smaller scale, all right? You've heard of other kind of, you could call plagues, the Spanish flu back in the 1900s. There was also the Black Plague back in the medieval times. So COVID-19 is a pestilence, okay? And earthquakes in diverse places. We just talked about that. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pains. And so listen, is COVID-19 a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? In a sense, yes. In this sense, okay, and keep this in mind, that it is kind of a precursor of what's to come, okay? There are going to be worse pestilences to come, all right? So it's not specifically. So as we read in Mark, you know, where he said, this is not the end. It's not the end yet, okay? It's not the end. Because look, depending on what you believe about the end times, all right, at the end, when these things are more rampant and these birth pains get shorter, we're not going to be here. We're going to be raptured out of here, okay? Christ is going to come for his church. And we'll hopefully get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But here's the point, okay? When you go around and you say, COVID-19, it's the end times, all people run around panic, that should tell us, look, people don't understand what's going on here. And look, even in the midst of this panic and this virus, God is still in control, right? And so we shouldn't be running around as believers in Jesus Christ. Oh, what do I do? It's the end of it. All this stuff. We shouldn't be doing that, all right? We should not be doing that. That should not be our response to this. Let's keep reading. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. By the way, this false prophets thing, today, or this week I should say, I saw a lot of people posting on Facebook, these guys, so self-proclaimed prophets, saying what this virus is, and saying that God told them this, and God told them that. And these were the same guys who, you know, are the ones who have talked in the past about different prophecies. And they're usually wrong pretty much 98% of the time. And so what happens is these guys will give these false prophecies and they'll maybe hit on one, okay, because it's kind of like a general guess at something. They'll hit on one and then they think, you know, everyone thinks they're a prophet. And look, the Old Testament says that if you were a false prophet and your prophecy was wrong, what happened? You'd be stoned to death. Thank God we're in the New Age or New Testament age of grace. But listen, there's going to be a lot of people, again, who are going to say a lot of different things about all this. What does the Bible say? That is what's the most important thing to keep in mind about all of this. What does the Bible say? Okay, so verse 12. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or grow cold. All right, now listen, you're seeing this kind of in our day and age. You see, for example, when a woman will have a baby and she doesn't want the baby and she'll throw the baby away. All right, a love, a natural love or natural affection, it also says, in I believe it's 1 Timothy, and during these times will grow cold. You're seeing what? The height of self. You're seeing that people love themselves more than anything else, even their own kids, anything. They love us, their stuff. And see, that's the other thing that's interesting about this whole quarantine thing with the COVID-19 virus. I don't know how much longer people are going to be willing to stay inside. And one of the reasons for that is people love their sin. They want to go to the bar. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to partake in this, partake in that. And so by them being kept inside, they can't do that. So I wonder how much longer people are going to go along with this to feel like that's enough. I got to be involved in my sin. Verse 13, but he shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. And we therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay, so let's stop there a second. Now, we're getting into some big themes here throughout the scripture. Some big themes in through the end of the age, the end times, all right? So I'm going to do this explanation the best I can, the simplest I can, all right, for you guys to understand the big picture here of the end times. Hold on one second. And so basically, it works like this. Right now, we are living in a time which is called the church age, okay? And as I mentioned earlier, the church is made up of Gentiles, everybody who's a non-Jew, and also Jews who have believed in Jesus Christ, okay? So that's the church. We're in the church age right now. So what are we waiting for, right? What is the next prophetic thing to happen? The next thing to happen in God's plan is what's called the rapture of the church. It's called the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture is not in our English Bibles, okay? In fact, the Greek word is harpazo, and it means to be snatched away violently, to be snatched away quickly, all right? And the main passage in the Bible for the rapture is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4. So, as I believe, this is what I believe. Look, not all Christians believe this, but I believe this. And as we get into 1 Thessalonians over the next 5 days, hopefully I'll be able to explain it more in more detail why I believe this. But here's the thing. The rapture, Jesus is going to come for his church and take them out, okay? Take them out before what's called the tribulation happens, okay? The tribulation is a period of seven years, all right? It's Daniel's last week from Daniel chapter 9, and we'll get there in a moment, okay? And so what happens is that 7 years, so the first 3.5 years is the first part of the tribulation, and then the last 3.5 years is the second half of the tribulation. And that second half is called the Great Tribulation. And the reason it's called the Great Tribulation is because from Revelation we learn that there are going to be what's called bowl judgments or vile judgments, where God's going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting earth, okay? And so that's why it's called the Great Tribulation, because those are the days in which no flesh would survive unless God stops what he's doing. And understand, too, in God's judgment, he is merciful. He is measured, okay? And you learn that as you go through Revelation, all right? So where does this all fit in? Okay, so right now, Jesus is talking in Matthew 24. He's telling his disciples about the end times, okay? And when he gets to this verse in Matthew 24:15, where he talks about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, okay? What I want us to do now is go from Matthew and turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Old Testament prophet of Daniel's left-hand turn. Now, we covered this passage of Scripture back when
I taught on the triumphal entry, okay, back in the Gospel of Mark. Daniel is praying. The context here is Daniel is praying, and he's given this prophecy by God, the angel, I believe, Gabriel. He gives him this prophecy, and we're going to pick up here in verse 24. It says this, 70 weeks or 77-year periods are determined upon thy people, that's the Jews, and upon thy holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. Now, to finish the transgression, to make end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Those points are all fulfilled in Jesus' first coming as the Messiah. That's fulfilled in his first coming. Okay? Then the next part. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those three, okay, are going to be fulfilled in Christ's second coming. All right. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, and that happened back on March 14th, 445 B.C., the prince, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And when that idea is that Messiah shall be cut off, that means that's speaking of the crucifixion, when Christ was crucified. And he was cut off and crucified. Why? Well, he was crucified for our sins. Never forget that, that Christ died for our sins. not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now, the people of the prince that shall come. That prince that shall come, he's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, okay? The Antichrist is this figure that's going to come on the scene during the end times. And he's going to sign, well, we'll get to it in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. The prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and be the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, so what does that all mean? This is what it means. This is what it means. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to sign a 7-year peace agreement. Now, 7 years should ring a bell, we just talked about. That's the 7 years of the tribulation. He's going to sign a 7-year peace agreement with the Jews. And as a part of this agreement, or somehow this is going to happen, the third temple is going to be built. Now, right now, as we look in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, there's the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim holy site. Now, I don't know how this is going to happen. I have no idea. But at some point, the Jews are going to rebuild their third temple. And as a part of that, the Antichrist, this world leader, is going to come on the scene, and it's going to create peace. Okay, there's going to be peace. So he's going to sign this agreement for 7 years with the Jews. Now, here's what you need to understand. 3.5 years, or the midpoint of this 7-year agreement, he is going to walk into the third temple. Now, the third temple, the Jews will be offering sacrifices. They'll be worshiping God their way, like the Old Testament with the temple, okay, when it was up and running. They're going to be doing that. And 3.5 years, he's going to walk into the temple. He's going to say, stop sacrificing, and you need to worship me. Worship me, I am God. And so when we just read in Matthew 24:15, it mentions it in Mark 13, that is the abomination of desolation. That word for abomination is a detestable, disgusting thing. And desolation means to lay waste, okay? So the Antichrist is going to take the role of God. He's going to step into the temple 3.5 years into the 7-year period, and he's going to proclaim that he is God, and he's going to tell everyone to stop worshiping, the Jews to stop worshiping the way they're worshiping, but to worship him as God. That's the abomination of desolation. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So when the Jews would see this, they need to realize, oh no, what have we done? Now remember, I said this before, the Antichrist. When we think of anti, we think of against. And yeah, it, in a sense, he is against Christ. But more importantly, we need to think of we need to think of instead of Christ. Look, one of the reasons why Jesus said in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, take heed and don't be deceived. I just talked about this. There are many people claiming to be the Messiah, to be the Savior. Let's get real here, guys. This whole COVID-19 thing that's going on right now, if someone came on the scene and said, I have the cure, I can cure this, what would happen? People would flock to this person. They would believe in this person. Because what did he do? He was their Savior, right? He was our Savior. He saved us from this awful virus. So look, it's not hard to think or believe that during this time of the end, when all these things are going on, that this man's going to come on the scene to bring peace, but he's a false Messiah. And what's fascinating is about this whole thing, there is an Old Testament book, the book of Zechariah, and it says that when Jesus eventually comes back and he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, it splits in half, and he rides through into Jerusalem, Eastern Gate, the Jews are going to look upon whom they have pierced, whom they've pierced. See, the Jews as a whole right now, as a nation of Israel, rejects Jesus as their Messiah. They reject Jesus as their Messiah. But see, we know who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited Messiah for the Jews. But as a nation as a whole, now that doesn't mean there aren't Jews in Jerusalem who do believe in Jesus, who do trust in him as their Savior. But for the most part, as a nation, they reject Jesus as their Messiah. Okay? All right. So let's turn back now to Mark 13. Listen, guys, I'm hoping everybody's still with me. I apologize for the technical difficulty there. I know that we kind of picked up midway through here. But Mark 13 again. Now, so verse 9 of Mark 13. Verse 9 of Mark 13. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before the rulers and the kings for my sake and for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all the nations. But when they lead you, deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Now look, we read this and we say, well, that's kind of hard to imagine. Well, it's happening now and across the whole world with the persecuted church. Because what happens is you have a government that's anti-Christian or anti-Christ in a sense. And so what they do is they tell people, look, if you see somebody carrying around a book, which is the Bible, carry around this book, you need to tell somebody. And there's stories of kids, innocent kids not knowing anything better, telling the authorities about their parents that they have this book in their house. And then the authorities come and take their parents and they never see their parents again. So to think that this couldn't happen, absolutely come. Look how much people have turned on each other just for toilet paper in the last few weeks. People are freaking out because of toilet paper, not having enough toilet paper and stuff. So it's not unheard of to see this kind of thing happening in our world for sure. But understand this, when all these things are going on, the church is not going to be here. We're going to be removed. Christ's bride, who is the church, the bride of Christ, will be removed. And so who is going to be left? Who is going to be left on this earth are all the people who have rejected Christ as their Savior, whether Jew or Gentile. Whether black, white, Asian, doesn't matter. If you've rejected Christ, you are going to be left here. Those who are alive are going to be left here. And they're going to be experiencing these things. And these birth pains of these events, the earthquakes, the pestilences, the wars, the deception, the pest, all those things are going to be in greater, greater scale. And they'll be there to witness it and be a part of it. And so When I say that, and I think in my mind, you know, what are we supposed to be doing right now? We're supposed to be telling our friends, our family members, whoever, about Christ. Because you don't want them here. You do not want to be here during this time. You don't want to be here. I would rather be in heaven. And look, if by believing that, believing in Christ taking his bride out of the earth, if I'm an escape artist, if I'm an escapist, or I'm whatever, hey, I'll admit to you, I am, because that's what I believe. And as I said, as we go through 1 Thessalonians this week on a nightly basis, hopefully when we get to that passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, I'll be able to explain in greater detail why I believe, and why I believe the scripture teaches that we'll be removed, okay? But verse 13 of chapter 13 of Mark 13:13, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation," we just talked about, "spoken of of Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand," okay? And let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, okay? Now, when you hear that, if there is a third temple and the Jews are worshiping, right? So who is Jesus addressing now? I said it earlier. The Jews. He's addressing the Jews. The Jews who will be alive during this time to see this. When they see this false Messiah that they put in place, and he goes in and says, "Worship me," that's when everything is going to change. And if to put it in a way, all hell's going to break loose, okay, during that time. And that's what's going to happen here. So that's what Jesus is describing to them of these end time events. Now remember, as a review here, guys, it's a simple review, all right? There is this period coming, 7-year period. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's called the tribulation, the time of tribulation. It's also called the time of Jacob's trouble, which again is a reference to who? The Jews. Remember, Jacob was the brother of Esau, and eventually Jacob wrestled with God. I believe it's in Genesis 32, and then God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, okay, governed by God. Okay, so it's the time of Jacob's trouble, this 7-year period. And at the first part of this 7-year period, the Antichrist, this world leader, is going to come on the scene, make peace for the Jews, the third temple is going to be rebuilt, and then 3.5 years, or halfway into the 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to come in to the temple, and he's going to say, "Stop worshiping the way you are. Stop offering sacrifice. You need to worship me. I'm God." In fact, the Bible talks about he's going to set up an image to be worshipped of him. Okay? Now, then, one from that midpoint on to the last 3.5 years, that is called the Great Tribulation. That is called the Great Tribulation. All right? So that's a simple way to put what's going on. Again, we are not right now, I know COVID-19 is scary for some people and everything. We are not in the Great Tribulation. We're not even in the tribulation yet, all right? Because I remember I started this whole study off with one thing. The next thing that's supposed to happen is the church is supposed to be removed, okay? Now, the next thing is that peace agreement needs to be signed. Has anybody seen a peace agreement signed yet in Israel? Does Israel need peace? Yeah. Does the Middle East need peace? Absolutely. So that hasn't happened yet, okay? But as we see these things, COVID-19, earthquakes, other things, false Christ, it is just the beginning of birth pains. I'm making this case. I'm painstakingly making this case so that we understand what's going on, so that we just don't listen to somebody saying this or somebody saying that or taking a verse out of context or all those things. I'm painstakingly trying to explain these things to you guys so you understand the big picture here, okay? The big picture. And look, the even bigger picture is this. God's in control. God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over our lives. He's in control. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. He knows it all. So there's nothing to fret or worry. So when we look at this stuff happening in the world, and if we know our Bibles, if we know what the scripture says, you stick to the script, okay? Yesterday, when I performed the wedding of my son and his beautiful bride, I had a script, okay? I didn't go off script. I stayed on script, okay? And I stayed in the Word. And that's what we need to do, is be in the Word. And that's why I'm trying to make this emphasis to you guys. You need to be in the Word and understand these things, because there are going to be a lot of people saying a lot of crazy stuff. And understand too, they say this crazy stuff because they don't believe the same thing we do. Look, because they're called experts doesn't mean they know everything. I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard for me to listen to somebody when I know. So I'll give you an example. So if I listen to a scientist who then says, okay, that the earth was not created, that evolution is true, I have a hard time believing some of the other things that he will espouse or say that's true, because he can't believe that he doesn't believe that foundational truth, that God created the heavens and the earth. But see, how do I know that? I know that because why? I know God's word. And I'm not talking about being a theologian, all right? You don't have to be an expert, you know? My pastor used to say, I don't care if you know Greek or Hebrew. I just care if you know the word no. No, say no to sin in your life, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, being a theologian. But you should have a working knowledge of what's going on. So hopefully, as we go through these scriptures, it gives you working knowledge. So when you look at the things going on around you, you understand. You understand what's going on, all right? All right. I think we're going to stop there. Listen, I apologize earlier for the video breaking down there. We're going to pick up in verse 15 next week. Or I'm sorry, verse 14 of Mark 13 next week. I hope this was helpful. Listen, one thing to remind you is, as we go out throughout this week, every night, okay, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, we're going to do a Facebook Live video of me teaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians, okay? The book of 1 Thessalonians. So keep that in mind for this coming week. It's a way to stay connected, and it's a way to do my job as a pastor, which is to equip you and to teach you and to feed you, okay? Again, I miss all of you. I miss seeing all your faces. I miss being with you. But let's pray that this ends quickly so that we can gather together as a body once again. Now, let me just say, the first part of the video will be on the Facebook page, and then this video, the second part, will be on there as well. And again, we apologize for technical difficulties. Hey, we're learning this too as we go. But anyway, I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody is healthy. We pray for everybody, and we love you. So let's pray. Let's end this today with a prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. Again, thank you for your faithfulness, and I pray for everyone who is watching, everyone who will watch, everyone who will listen later. I pray, Father God, that first, if there are those who don't know you, who aren't sure about you, I pray that today would be the day they would give their life to you. When they look around and see the things going on, understand that you are still in control, and understand, Father, that you love them, that you love them so much you sent your son Jesus to die for them on the cross, and then you raised him from the third day. Father, I pray that they simply would just cry out to you and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again. I want him to be the Lord of my life. It's that simple, Lord. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I pray that for them. And I also pray for the rest of us, Lord, who already know you, that we grow in our knowledge and our trust of you, that we take these times while we're here at home to study the word and to pray and to seek your face. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your grace. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, God.